Peter takes off his jacket and wraps it around my shoulders. I start to take a step back, but then I let him, deciding for a moment to accept both his jacket and his kindness. A friend would do that, right?
They were from here?
He asks, and he secures a button at my neck. I nod. They'd had that capital look about them, the boy and the girl.
Where do you suppose they were going?
He asks. I don't know that, I say. District 12 is pretty much the end of the line. Beyond us, there's only wilderness. If you don't count the ruins of District 13 that still smolder from the toxic bombs. They show it on television occasionally just to remind us. Or why they would leave here. Haymitch had called the Avoxes traitors. Against what? It could only be the capital. But they had everything here, no cause to rebel.
I'd leave here, Peeta blurts out.
Then he looks around nervously. It was loud enough to hear above the chimes. He laughs.
I'd go home now if they let me. But you have to admit, the food's prime.
He's covered again. If that's all you heard, it would just sound like the words of a scared tribute, not someone contemplating the unquestionable goodness of the capital.
It's getting chilly. We better go in, he says.
Inside the dome, it's warm and bright. His tone is conversational.
Your friend Gale. He's the one who took your sister away at the reaping.
Yes. Do you know him? I ask.
Not really. I hear the girls talk about him a lot. I thought he was your cousin or something. You favor each other, he says.
No, we're not related, I say. Peeta nods, unreadable.
Did he come to say goodbye to you?
Yes, I say, observing him carefully. So did your father. He brought me cookies. Peeta raises his eyebrows, as if this is news. But after watching him lie so smoothly, I don't give this much weight.
Really? Well, he likes you and your sister. I think he wishes he had a daughter instead of a house full of boys.
The idea that I might ever have been discussed around the dinner table, at the bakery fire, just in passing in Peeta's house, gives me a start. It must have been when the mother was out of the room.
He knew your mother when they were kids, says Peeta.
Another surprise, but probably true. Oh, yes, she grew up in town, I say. It seems impolite to say that she never mentioned the baker, except to compliment his bread. We're at my door. I give back his jacket. See you in the morning, then.
See you,
he says, and walks off down the hall. When I open my door, the red-headed girl is collecting my unitard and boots from where I left them on the floor before my shower. I want to apologize for possibly getting her in trouble earlier, but I remember I'm not supposed to speak to her unless I'm giving her an order.
Oh, sorry, I say. I was supposed to get those back to Cinna. I'm sorry. Can you take them to him?
She avoids my eyes, gives a small nod, and heads out the door. I'd set out to tell her I was sorry about dinner, but I know that my apology runs much deeper, that I'm ashamed I never tried to help her in the woods, that I let the capital kill the boy and mutilate her without lifting a finger, just like I was watching the games. I kick off my shoes and climb under the covers in my clothes. The shivering hasn't stopped. Perhaps the girl doesn't even remember me, but I know she does. You don't forget the face of the person who was your last hope. I pull the covers up over my head, as if this will protect me from the red-headed girl who can't speak. But I can feel her eyes staring at me, piercing through walls and doors and bedding. I wonder if she'll enjoy watching me die.